This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tan Talk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, and we are having the most wonderful weather. I am so happy. I have an absolutely wonderful guest coming up, but first I want to remind you two things. One, I have Jeffrey Deaver coming up on Thursday to talk about The Cutting Edge, which is his new book. It's the new Lincoln Rhymes book. And I really want to talk about this book because I think it's just great. He has crossed over from that mystery writer title to something absolutely fabulous in this book. It's literature. And I just am really excited to talk about the new book. And meanwhile, I want to also tell everyone, please love me. This is funny. Love me on Facebook. I'm not really great at Facebook, and I'm trying to be. And I didn't know that you were supposed to say like me on Facebook because I don't know. I like people. So just like me on Facebook. It's Radio Joy on Paper, and I will really appreciate it. And because, you know, I'm not really a millennial, but I am so happy that I have on the program today somebody who got into the minds of millennials, which is a scary thing, and her name is Jana King, and she has written a really fabulous book called The Seasonaires, and they're saying it's just right for the season, and it is right here. We can take it to the beach, but I'm so happy to welcome Jana to the program. Hi, Jana.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, you know, to say that you got into the minds of millennials is a bit frightening, but you certainly have accomplished it with this book.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I have two of my own, so it was something that an age group that I am familiar with, and it made it very compelling to write the book.
Well, and the book, you know, I when I started the book, and there's a prologue, and then I'm like into the second chapter, third chapter, I'm saying, wow, this book is so good. And I was really sad. I got it actually. They sent it in, and somehow with all the mail and everything I get, because I get thousands of, you know, pieces of mail all the time, and I didn't get it in time to get you on for the release date. But I'm reading the book, and I'm saying, my goodness, this is so good. This is so good. I got so excited. And it reminded me of the same excitement I got when I read Delia Ephron's book, Syracusa. And
what a compliment. Thank you.
And I thought, well, it is because, I mean, Delia Ephron is great. And
amazing.
And I was reading it and I said, oh my goodness, this is so good. I get really excited when I find an author that whose book I think, you know, really, and first, you know, knowing that it's your first book, I'm saying, okay, well, now she's going to be, every summer they're going to want her to come out with a book, because this is, if they're promoting it as a great summer read, which it is, I think you've got a job for the rest of your life here.
Well, I sure hope so. That makes me feel really good. Thank you so much.
So let's talk about the book. It's called The Seasonaires.
Yes.
And I didn't know about this whole thing. And so you have to tell us what you want to say about the book.
Well, there's this whole facet of, it's a whole culture of brand ambassadors that represent everything from fashion to footwear to liquor, and they represent various brands, and they're hired to go to the most beautiful places on earth, basically, to promote these brands, and they party, and in the world of fashion, they wear beautiful clothes, and they hang out, and they basically post on social media on behalf of these brands. And these brand ambassadors in my book are called seasonaires, and the word is inspired by vacationers who go to various beautiful places on Earth to vacation during seasons, summer and winter, and also at ski resorts. Young people go and work at ski resorts, and they are also called seasonaires. But the world of brand ambassadors was incredibly fascinating to me, and these six brand ambassadors for a fictional clothing line called Linden Wild happened to go to Nantucket, which is gorgeous, and they embark on this dream summer, and basically things go south.
Become
very messy.
It does. And so I didn't even, I'm not really big into fashion, but so I didn't know the brand ambassadors are real.
They are real.
They are real. There are really people who get paid to wear beautiful clothes, to go to beautiful places, and take pictures of themselves.
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
Like, you know, wow, that's pretty incredible.
Yes, and it's a great job for a young person to be able to go off and travel and go to these amazing locations and just enjoy life and wear these great outfits and hang out. I mean, and get paid handsomely to do so. It's a great job.
And they get a following. And so much of this really, I really enjoyed reading the book, partly because I had never really understood Instagram until I read this book. I didn't know the importance of it. I'm functioning with Facebook, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this Instagram thing is really quite amazing. So you've brought together a group of very interesting people, each with their own different story. Mm-hmm. And as I said, you are a really fine writer because you really got us into the story. So that we really understood the characters. Of course, the main character, I think, is Mia, and someone we really want to care about and carries us through the entire book. But you've done a great job here.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, they were, I felt like I really lived with them for a long time, all the characters, and I feel like there are pieces of me in almost every character, even things that are not so pretty. It enabled me to kind of look at characters on every level, not necessarily what you see on the surface, but what's underneath as well. And that was an amazing part of writing this book, was really getting into these characters who kind of have to present an image on social media, Instagram and Snapchat, and a lot of times there's so much more than what we see in these very curated photos, you know, and posts.
Now, the idea for the book wasn't yours. I mean, it wasn't originally yours. It actually was sort of posited to you as a possibility.
What happened was I had worked with my agent Adam Cromie on I started in television, and we were working on a project together, and he came to me about a year later. He wasn't my agent at the time, and he came to me about a year later after this other project, and said, you know, there's this whole world of brand ambassadors. Do you think it's interesting? And would you want to write a book? And I have always wanted to write a novel. It was one area of writing that I hadn't yet explored. And I said, sure. And so I did research on this, you know, world of brand ambassadors and came up with this plot and all my characters and just kind of dove into this world. So he had presented the concept to me, and I just thought it was enormously compelling, and it was a fun way for me to kind of dive into novel writing.
Well, I love this guy. I mean, I think Adam is, like, I think he is a wonderful human being.
Yeah, it definitely gave me an incredible opportunity. Absolutely.
What agency is he with?
He's with Movable Type. Adam Cromie. Yeah, he was great and very supportive, and really felt like it was something that I could sink my teeth into, and was very encouraging.
Well, whenever an agent comes to you with a book idea, I mean, they are. I mean, it looks like they're worth their weight in gold when they do that, because that is so wonderful. You don't have to do the opposite of, you have to go out and search for them, which is always so difficult for even for a screenwriter. It's not as easy as people think to get a book deal, because it's like typecasting. Oh, you're a screenwriter. Oh, well, can you do a book? You know, so. I love this Adam. I want to meet him. I love him. I'm going to, you know, I think I'll put a picture of him as sort of the god of agents.
I will tell him that. He will appreciate that.
And I'm going to get him on the program, because we have to hear the story from his side. Because what he saw in you, obviously, he saw something in you. He said, okay, I have a great story idea, and I could pitch this to, it's nice when an agent is pitching. I could pitch this to this writer. I could go to Delia Ephron. I could go to anybody, and they'd all jump on it. But he selected you. So that says something great about him. And it says something great about you, because he saw something in you. Because it is true. And, you know, not all screenwriters can be novelists. And certainly not all novelists can be screenwriters. I think it's easier, vice versa. So, wow, I think you just lucked out so much with this guy, because you have come out, it's your first novel, but you are one heck of a writer.
Oh, thank you so much. I love it. I've been doing it for as long as I can remember. It's just literally... my favorite thing to do is write, and in all forms. So
now, how did you? Okay, so you have the thing. I'm going to do these brand ambassadors. Did you know any brand ambassadors at that point?
My ex-husband actually owned a clothing line. He had, and we're still very good friends. And he had brand ambassadors back in the day. And I just did a lot of research on the whole world of brand ambassadors. They're very easy to find on Instagram because it's such a huge thing. And I think if you go to, you know, posts for a lot of different brands, again, from clothing to footwear, to sports, you know, equipment, you'll find them. And they, you know, they tag their brands. And so I just really kind of delved in and did my research into the world, but it helped that he did, you know, have a clothing line back in the day, and he had brand ambassadors, so I was able to discuss the world with him a little bit.
Well, now I think, and after I read this book, now I understand perhaps where, I was recently up in Yale, my son was giving a speech up there, he's a PhD student, and just sitting around the coffee shops and the restaurants, I'm being always interested and snoopy. I'm listening to everybody's conversations, and so many of the kids, the young people, you know, the millennials, were talking about, you know, where their shoes came from or where their shirts came from, or, you know, and all of this. So now I realize where they know all of this stuff from, because
sure,
they've seen it from these brand ambassadors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And these young people are getting paid very handsomely to promote the brands on Instagram.
Oh, you know? Wow. Yeah, it is incredible.
World.
Now, so let's talk about you selected different personalities, which is, you know, exactly what you need in a book to make it interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us about the brand ambassadors, how you selected them? How did you come out with the idea? Are they, you know?
Well, I definitely wanted to go in from the point of view of a character who had a kind of tough life and discovered, you know, like we do as the reader, that there was this dream job, basically. And that's Mia. And she applies for the job in hopes that she's a budding fashion designer. And she applies for the job in hopes that it will help her jumpstart her career, and in addition, you know, her family needs the money, so she thinks it's an incredible opportunity and So she applies and gets the job, and you know, soon discovers that, like a host of jobs, most jobs, it's very, very competitive once she gets there. And although, you know, this group of young people who live in this amazing house on the beach are all, you know, become very close, there is a lot of competition on social media and posting and who has the most followers. And the brand ambassador, the season heir with the most followers, ends up being invited back the next year, so they're all vying for that position. So, but she goes in with a very kind of genuine, hopeful, optimistic point of view about going to Nantucket for the summer. And she's she has some scrappy qualities about her, which made her really fun to write. And I have a daughter who is very scrappy and honest and, you know, kind of forthright. So I was inspired by her personality when I wrote the character of Mia. And so that's really the point of view that I went into the book with.
And of course, you really sort of fleshed out Mia with her family and with mm-hmm. with the mother and her brother. And so you always need that character to sort of hang on to when you have a book that people want to care about and people are concerned about throughout the book. And so you did a great job with her. And then the other characters, tell us a little bit where you came up with the idea for some of them.
I really wanted to have a character that, you know, you sort of love to hate, but at the same time, you discover there's something more about her. So Presley, who is Mia's roommate, is the returning season heir from the year before. She's a Southern Belle, very, very beautiful, very, very confident, and she's a little bit off-putting for Mia, and there is a frenemy aspect to their relationship that was fun to explore as far as girl relationships go. And you know, the thing about Mia is also she's not perfect either, and she ends up sort of falling into the trappings of what it means to be, you know, a competitive brand ambassador season heir, and she, you know, discovers things about herself that she doesn't like. So the story ends up being as much about her redemption as these other characters. So Presley was really fun to write because on the surface, you know, she comes off as being very, very confident, and we discover that her past is as challenging as anybody else's. And it's my hope that, you know, that readers will find a depth to her that makes her sympathetic at a certain point in the book.
And there are redeeming qualities to everybody, actually, if you know, and so that's one of the great things about being a writer. You can have all these hidden depths that you can bring out at when you need them.
Yes, absolutely. And that was really important to me, is that nobody's perfect. And in writing the characters, like I said, you know, I tried to look at struggles that I have had in my life. I mean, I was writing about millennials, but we're all human beings. And so I looked at, you know, my struggles growing up and things that I went through and tried to kind of find grist for the mill there in writing each of the characters.
And of course, you talk a lot here about the social media, which is something, you know, that I found interesting because I didn't know a lot about this. And although I read a lot, and I've recently had a lot of books for young adults, but of all the books I have to tell people, because I get in trouble. I'll recommend a book, and then someone will come along and say, "Oh, well, there's bad language in the book." Well, I say, okay, there, you know, what you write here is true to character. So sometimes there are, you know, a few bad words, but sort of get over it if you want to, you know, to read a really fascinating book.
Well, you know, I don't generally have the cleanest mouth on the planet. So it's not, you know, it is a PG-13, you know, book, but I did really want to write dialogue that was true to that age group. Again, I have a daughter who's 21 and a son who's 19, and my daughter oftentimes reads what I write, and she would call me out if she felt like there was something in it where, you know, she would say, "Mom, you know, no one would say that." And so it's helpful to have, you know, a touchstone in that age group. And, you know, people swear and people say things that are not so nice. And
there's nothing in here worse than what you see on television nowadays.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Or the news. The news. Let's say some of the news programs are more X-rated, certainly, than anything that you say in this book. But I mean, why I think it's so appropriate for this book is that this way young people can relate. They'll say, "Yeah, this is us," and I think they can also learn from it because they can see what sort of wrong decisions can do to a person and think about what's out there, what people are putting out there for young people to see.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to explore that in the social media world too, because, you know, everything you put on Instagram or Twitter or, you know, Facebook is forever, basically. And I think I wanted to show these characters who are not always making great choices, and things come out. I hope in the book we find clues. It is a mystery, and I wanted to make sure that there were little clues that were dropped in throughout their posts on social media, and I thought that would be a fun thing to do in the book because I think about that all the time. If you're looking at a post, you might catch something that you know, is a clue into somebody's personality or life. I think that's part of what's interesting about looking on Instagram. And I wanted to explore that when I fleshed out the mystery. But also, you know, social media is a great arena for sharing, and it can also be a very, you know, mean and sort of bullying arena. And so I explored that as well, and I thought that was important. In addition to it, you know, I really hoped that it's just a really fun beach read that people would take, you know, on their summer vacation, but I did want to add, you know, there are messages about social media and life and perfection and portrait of perfection. I wanted to include that in the book, too.
Well, I think you did, and as you said, it's a great summer book. It's a great book just to sit back and read and enjoy. But I do like a book that leaves you with a little bit of thought and a little bit of perhaps learning something. And certainly young people need to sort of double think this idea of what they're putting on Instagram and what they're putting on Facebook. And do they want it to live forever? And the result of if they put something harmful or hurtful, you know, hopefully they will stop it because they just don't need to do it. It's there's so much that we have to think about when we're doing something like that, when we're posting and trying to be nicer to people. That's the message that should be out there with all of this instant messaging.
Right. Yes, that's true. And I don't mean it to be in a preachy way at all.
No.
I mean, it is. I hope that it is just part of the story. And I do think social media. Listen, I love Facebook and Instagram and in the way that you're connecting with people, and you're connecting with people that you wouldn't normally meet in everyday life. I've met women. You know, I have an Instagram friend who's in Australia. I live in Los Angeles. I would have never come in contact with her if I was not on Instagram. That there is enormously positive qualities to the connection that social media can bring. But at the same time, like everything, there's a light side and a dark side. And I wanted to explore that in the book.
Well, you certainly do. I think The Seasonaires is a great book, a great summer read, and I want to talk to you about more about it. I want to talk to you also about the cover for this and for the Audible version. And I just have to take a quick commercial break, but hold on, and I'll be right back so we have a lot more to talk about, okay?
Great.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I, or call 1-800-871-1543. That's 800-871-1543.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back with my guest, Jana King, to talk about her new book, The Seasonaires, which is a great summer read, and also to talk about some of her other work, because Jana is a screenwriter, and I know that it's always, for me, always exciting to talk to screenwriters. But first, let's finish up talking about the book. Jana,
okay.
I think that, I was so happy to get this book. It's from, of course, it was published by Pegasus Books, and they just do such a beautiful job, and it's really, really nice. The cover and everything is nice. I noticed, though, how and actually the quality of the paper is excellent. I don't know, their production value is terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, they did. They've been amazing to work with. And when I saw the cover, I was so excited. But then when the book actually came to me and I felt it, and it's so much. It's even better in person.
It really is quality. They did it. The paper is very luxurious, and the cover is very luxurious. And as always, Pegasus is really the tops. They are wonderful, and I know that it will be always thrilling to work with them, because their entire group is fantastic.
Yeah, they've been amazing. Very, really supportive, and it was. For a debut novelist, it's been a fabulous experience. Their Pegasus is great.
And of course, your agent is wonderful. Let's give his name again so everybody can hear it.
Adam Cromie.
Adam Cromie. And I'm going to have Adam on the program, because I think he's wonderful. Any agent who comes to a writer with an idea is just, I think, a fantastic human being.
I agree, 100%.
And now, one of the things is, I did notice that on the Audible version, they changed the cover.
Yes, it's a different Blackstone
did it
put out the Audible version.
Okay,
and I think the cover's really is is really cool for that too.
Nice job. And the thing is, the Audible version is very nice. I got that too because I always liked. Lately, I've sort of doubled up. I get the book and then I check out if I like the Audible version because. A lot of people do take now their phone with them and they plug it in and they can listen to the Audible version. So whether you're reading the book or listening to it, I think it's just a great read for the summer.
Thank you.
I said, one of the nice things about this book is it for older people who aren't sort of in this millennial generation, I think it gives them insights into things that they perhaps don't know about. And then for younger people, I think, again, I think, you know, it's a mystery, but it's also, it's in the sense that it's a novel about coming of age that I think they'll find very relevant.
Yes, I hope so. It's a little bit of a cautionary tale. And, you know, there is the Lyndon Wilde, who is the fictional owner of this and founder of this brand of clothing, her Lyndon Wilde clothing brand. She was a really fun character to write as well, and she's like the, you know, kind of very chic mama tigress to her seasonaires, and her sister helps her run the company. And so I did get characters in there that were also a little bit older than my seasonaires, so they were fun to write as well.
And that actually, it was perfect. The name, you came out with a perfect name. I thought.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that was very, very, very cool. I like the name right away. I thought, okay. Well, of course, that is one of the things that, as a screenwriter, you do think about things like that. And so you are. Well, let's talk now because my listeners are always. They're always thinking about going the other way. You know, you've come from one way, and so many of the authors I speak to, of course, they want to see their books as films. And sometimes they'll get caught. New writers will come to me and they'll say, "Well, you know, I've published this independently. I'm an indie author, and I think my book would really make a great film. And I want to learn how to write screenplays." And so it's a different story. And I will tell you this. I wrote screenplays. I've done screenplays.
That's great.
I had now unlike you. Okay. I had three of my screenplays were optioned in Hollywood and they appeared in the Hollywood Reporter. You know,
amazing.
Big full page. Now you know what that means when you get your full page, you know, in the Hollywood Reporter and they've optioned your screenplay, and you get so excited.
So, yes, congratulations. That's great.
Okay, well, that's great. But you also know what happens in Hollywood with screenplays. They can go in to turn around as that they like. They might as well be in a dryer, right? They go around and around and around.
Right. It's very challenging.
Very challenging.
Correct.
So I had three screenplays optioned, which was a big deal. And I will say I have that, you know, those pages framed because I don't know. We are hoping someday that, you know, dryer is going to stop and it's going to come spewing out because I got so close. As a matter of fact, one of the films I wrote was for Debbie Reynolds.
And fabulous.
It was absolutely fabulous. And we had everything set up and we were ready. We had the locale, we had the everything set up. We were going to film here in Florida a woman who had been in World War II as a pilot, and she had now she's old and she owns a small airline here in Florida, delivering dead bodies, and it's a comedy, and so we were all set to film it, and of course that's when 2008, that's when the financial collapse hit, mm-hmm. And so we were within weeks of starting production, and. Of course, all of our finances just dried up so fast. So, of course, and then by the time we could come back to it, by then it was difficult to get insurance on her. I will say that I'm very happy that one of the last things that she actually taped was that she called in to Joy on Paper to wish my listeners a Happy New Year.
That's amazing.
Just a few weeks before she passed away. So it was really hard, you know. So I know from the feeling that, you know, I know I can write scripts because you don't get them optioned unless you can write scripts. But I never got, I still haven't, but I'm working on it. You know, once you're a script writer and you have those scripts out there, you never stop trying. But you, of course, now you came out of you came out of film school, right? Out of UCLA?
I studied English at UCLA, and then I went to Loyola Marymount for film school.
Okay.
And I got my master's in film.
And so some of your spec scripts, picked out, you got notice, right?
I did. I mean, I've been writing for a long time, and my thesis project coming out of Loyola was optioned when I was working as a receptionist. This was with my master's degree. I worked at a receptionist at a studio, and a producer there read my thesis screenplay, and she optioned it, and we developed it. And again, you know, it's really hard to get from start to finish, but it was a good, it wasn't made into a film, but it was a really good entree for me. And I just continued to write screenplays, and then went on to work as an assistant for a television executive and started writing spec scripts for TV drama. And that's how I got into the television arena, was from writing. I think I wrote, you know, probably four spec TV episodes.
And then from there, you went on into children's work, film and
yes,
television.
Yes, I did. I did one-hour dramas. I did freelance episodes of one-hour dramas at the start. And then I had my kids. And when I had my kids and I was freelancing, I kind of just fell into animation, and I still do some animation too. I do both live action and animation. And so I did a lot of animation when they were younger, and that is loads of fun. So I did that as well.
Okay. So now one of the things, of course, I think just as when I was reading Delia Ephron's book, when I started reading her book, within a few pages, I'm seeing it as a film. You know, I saw it as a film. As a matter of fact, when I read Siracusa, I forgot I was reading a book, and I was seeing it as a film. And I've been very sorry that they have not picked it up, and they haven't made a film out of it. Although it's a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with you, I also, because you're a screenwriter, so you have this ability in very, very concise terms to be able to describe things and to put us in place. And so,
thank you.
You know, I mean, that it's a great talent. This is one of the problems with novelists trying to go the other way. They have a very hard time to, they might write beautiful descriptions, but then if you ask them to turn it into like a few lines, it's like a painful. They can't, but I like that word. I like that word, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you love all your little baby words that you put in there, but when you're writing scripts, you know you have to, boom, you have to tighten things up. So it's nice to go the other way, that you have that space in a novel to expand on your vision. And you've done that. And of course, tell us what's happening with this book.
Well, it has been optioned by Blumhouse, and they are at the very, very beginning stages of developing it as a TV series. But the hope was in the beginning, when the concept was, in exploring the concept, it seemed like it would make for a really compelling TV series.
Well,
so
I think so.
In the beginning, the hope was that somebody would notice it as far as developing it for television.
Well, I think it will, because as I said, having just come back from Yale and listening and overhearing these kids talking about their clothes and talking about their shoes and talking about, you know, where they got this and where they got. I thought, whoa, yeah, this is a subject that they will enjoy. And I can see that so many. I mean, it's just we're talking product placement here. So,
oh, I hope so. That would be great.
So this, I think, I'm sure. As I was when I was reading it, I was, you know, I first saw it as a film, and then you're right. The more you see it, you realize you have all of these characters to build off, so that you could really do a very, very nice television series. And
I hope so.
Compared to so many of the other subjects they have out there, I think this will be great.
Thank you. Well, that was the intention, and I really hope to see it to fruition, for sure.
Well, I think you will, and it's so nice, because as a scriptwriter, you really understand the business, and so they'll have to keep you in the loop, because, you know, so often for an author, their book will be picked up for a movie or for a television show, but nobody in Hollywood ever wants to see them again. You know, because this is a problem with a novelist. They do tend to have this ownership of their words, and they get really upset when things are lost or when characters are changed. And, you know, you never know when you're writing a character. You might be writing a character where the hero is a man, you know, with black hair and tall and handsome, or maybe tall, blonde, blue-eyed, like Lee Child wrote Jack Reacher, who looked very much like him. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Cruise buys the rights, and he doesn't look exactly like Lee Child. And Lee Child had to make a decision. Well, you know, do I want to insist that the character be tall and blonde and look handsome like me, or do I want the money? So, you know, you have this choice, and it's hard sometimes for writers to understand this.
Yeah, I think working in TV and film for as long as I have, I'm really not precious about my work. I think it's really, I love the collaborative process is something I actually enjoy immensely. And I think you have to be open to suggestions. I think you can get really married to certain aspects of your work, and sometimes getting a different opinion or having somebody suggest something different is not terrible, you know. And I think when you feel really strongly, there are conversations, but I think collaboration is really important.
Well, in film, in television, it is collaboration. It is not, you're not the one god, as you are when you're an author and you create a novel or a book, and you say, you know, you wrote it. This is mine. Every word in there is mine, and I don't want anything changed. Of course, that doesn't work when you're trying to put it in film.
Yes, I think that's very true. You know, things change, and also, you know, there's production issues that come up when things are adapted for the screen, that I think you have to kind of be aware of that as well.
Well, I think that'll be one of the fun things that they will like, being able to take your work and to work with you. And I have a feeling you have a heck of a great career in television coming ahead, because I don't think anyone could have come. This guy, Adam, I love Adam. I mean, this.
Well, I will tell him.
Yeah, he is. What he has done for you is just so amazing, and I'm so anxious and eager to talk to him, to just hear from his point of view how he realized that, wow, I found the right person for this, because it is a great idea. And as I said, I had never even heard of this brand, you know, thing. So brands ambassadors. And so I think it's just so amazing that someone would come to you and offer you such a wonderful opportunity.
Yes, I agreed. I'm extraordinarily grateful for that. Absolutely.
So I don't know how big he is, how tall he is, but I have a feeling if you get a television series, he will be worth his weight in gold. And, you know, he'll probably want to go on a scale and say, okay, just put the gold there and balance it out. And I'll take, you know, because I think it's going to be a great success.
Well, thank you. I hope so.
I don't want you to land up in that dryer, going around and around in circles. Because the nice thing about this subject, it's timely. It's just this is the time to do it. Because partly there's a little bit of a Me Too business in this book.
Yes, there is absolutely that.
Which,
that was also very important for me to explore. Interestingly enough, I had already wanted to explore the arena before everything sort of blew up, and then it was before the actual Me Too movement happened, and I knew it would happen eventually, and then it did, and so it became very timely, and it was a really important subject for me to kind of delve into.
Sometimes these things just happen at the right time in your life, because you might have come out with this. Somebody might have come 10 years ago with it and wouldn't have the same relevancy, the same importance as it does today.
Mm-hmm.
Because, wow, it is right there. And I think it's just terrific what you've done with it. And
thank you.
And also it's an important from the Me Too side to come into this program with that idea that we're going to look at something that's a very important something for people to know and for young people to think about and for young women, because women really have to feel empowered. And I think there's so much that you can explore with a television series.
Yes, and it was very important for me to write female. I feel like all my female characters are very strong in this book. It was important for me to write. I mean, they're flawed in certain ways, but they're all very strong characters. And that was something that was really important for me to do. My male characters are great as well, but I really wanted to have strong, compelling female characters.
Now, I have a few minutes left, so people always ask me this. Why don't you ask them who their favorite author is? So I will ask you this.
My favorite author. I am reading Jamie Brenner's The Husband Hour right now, and I'm reading Limelight, both great books. And I love memoirs and biographies. I happen to love them. And so I'm reading From Cradle to Stage. It's Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters. Mom wrote a book about being the mom of a rock star, and she interviews other rock star and musician moms. And that's a fascinating arena for me because my daughter's in a band. She's a musician, and so I'm reading that as well. But all great books.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today, Jenna. It's just wonderful to talk to you. Here's the deal. I really hope that when you start the television series, it's been a while since I've been out to Hollywood, invite me on to the set because I want to watch you in action. I know it's going to be so much fun. I have a feeling that this is going to happen because sometimes I get books where I really wish, as I said with Nora, with Delia's book, because of course Nora Ephron was her sister, and I really admired Nora, and when I read Delia's book, I said, oh, this has to be a film. And so I really hope that we will see you on the small screen, and it's you've done a wonderful job.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on your program. I really appreciate it.
Well, and the name of the book is The Season Airs. It's available wherever books are sold. It's by Jana King. Do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.jana with two N's, Dash King.com.
And they can find you also on Facebook and probably Instagram.
They can find me on Instagram, absolutely, and Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. Okay. Well, again, thank you so much, Jana, for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you so much again.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Whoa. What a book. What a book. Who knew about this? My goodness. Brand ambassador. I just want to be a brand ambassador for a coffee company. Please, if you know a coffee company, I'm going through so much coffee lately because I'm getting up now. Instead of 5 o'clock, I'm getting up at 4:30. So I need coffee. And as a matter of fact, the minute I head out of the studio, I'm heading to Wawa's for coffee. Anybody know anybody at Wawa's? They can sponsor me, and I will be their brand ambassador because I love Wawa's coffee. Of course, I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I love coffee. So I need a coffee company to sponsor Joy on Paper. And again, meanwhile, I want to remind you, as I just did with Jana King, that, you know, one of the joys of life really is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book. And I do like this new Audible book of Jana King's. It is very, very good. And so whether you're going to the beach and you want to, if you're right here already, and head over to Barnes & Noble is here, or Haslam Books downtown. If you have not been to Haslam, go down there. They have this book because it is quite popular right now. And get it. It's called The Seasonaires. It's perfect here for reading here on the beach in glorious Clearwater, Florida. And again, the only way you're going to get a book deal is if you actually sit down and write a book. That helps. So think about it. And if you need help, why don't you send me an email at Patsy at radio-joyonpaper.com, and I will be happy to answer your questions and help you on the road to writing your book. And what else? Oh, meanwhile, remember, I'm going to be talking to Jeffrey Deaver about his book. And take some time today to say something nice to somebody. And I'm going to say something nice to Big Ed in the control room because he's always so nice to me. And he's saluting me and I'm saluting him. And again, please, please go to Facebook and like me. And you can even love me on Facebook. It's Radio Joy on Paper on Facebook. I need those likes. Thank you very much. And remember, Mother's Day's coming up, and get a MyPillow, and my promo code is PATZI. Bye-bye now.